A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Redmen TV. It is the Uncensored Match Build-Up. I'm joined by Steve Hoare, by James Redmond and by Ben Kelly for this one ahead of Liverpool facing off against Spurs at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Yeah, the new stadium. Looking forward to going down there. Obviously, it's Mourinho's Spurs nowadays. They've not had the best start to life under Jose Mourinho, Steve. What have you made of Tottenham so far?
I think when he first came in, you saw that bounce. There's a couple of players, you know, Dele Alli for one, who just really seems to shine, and things started going well. But a lot of blame got placed at Pochettino's, you know, at his doors. He ultimately got sacked, didn't he, for what happened and stuff. And I think it's gone to show that it probably wasn't the manager. You know, it's probably more to do with the players he's got there, and maybe, you know, a few other things as well. But they're suffering from injuries as well, which hasn't hurt, and their squad depth isn't great. So I think he's gone in there, had the immediate Mourinho effect, which I think most people presumed he would have. He got the best out of a couple of players, but as soon as it's gone a bit wrong, he's kind of, there's not much he can change, you know, because he's come in when the window was closed and stuff. There's not much, he's working with what he's got and with what Pochettino had. And to be honest, if two really good managers, you would say, haven't been able to do anything with these players, then maybe it's the players rather than the manager.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, actually, the fact that they're both really good managers. And, you know, after Steve talked about the new manager bounce there, James, and, you know, he wins his first three. Since then, he's won three, drawn two, lost four. So that isn't the best form for Tottenham. Yeah. Obviously, losing four of nine is never good, especially when you want to fight for top four place. They're now 6 points behind Chelsea.
Yeah.
Now, Harry Kane's going to be out for this game, and I think it's quite interesting, really, that, you know, a lot of Liverpool fans, and I've heard loads of people say it, that they're a better side going back to last season as well. Is that something that you believe,
Harry Kane?
That they're a better side without Harry Kane?
Oh, they're a better side without. To be honest, at one point I was really strong on that opinion, because when Son played, you just saw a different dynamic to the whole team. You know, Harry Kane, he's a lethal finisher, he can get you loads of goals, but in terms of the team, how the team actually played when Son was in there, it was just another level. Him, Moura, just when they had pace and just flair all over the pitch. I think with Harry Kane now, I couldn't really say. It's just a different team. They're too inconsistent, too up and down. It's like, it depends how they're feeling when they wake up, sort of thing. If they wake up feeling energised, ready, like it's going to be the best day, then it's going to be a really tough game. Whereas if they wake up like they've, you saw how they played in some games this season, then it could just be a Liverpool whitewash, to be honest.
I must admit, I think I'm pretty similar to you. I think a year ago I was like, yeah, I actually prefer Tottenham without Harry Kane. But now, with Jose Mourinho in charge, I think Kane's more integral to their formation and how they play. Because, you know, Mourinho likes to have a strong defence, strong midfield, and a guy to hold the ball up, doesn't he? So for me, I'm looking at Harry Kane, Ben, and going, well, he fits that, because the fast lads can play off him. If Son's in there, are you really, if they're playing the same way, are you utilising Son in the same way? Because then does it dull what he's about?
No, absolutely, yeah. I think it is it's going to be interesting to see how it's different. The classic Mourinho game that I remember was the Man United game where we went away to Old Trafford and lost, and Marcus Rashford scored two goals, and it basically came from David De Gea lumping the ball up to Lukaku, who was getting a flick on or bringing it down and laying it off to Marcus Rashford, who then, you know, Alexander-Arnold struggled that day, didn't he? And from then, you know, being able to watch Mourinho during his time at Man United and starting to see how he's setting up at Tottenham as well, you know, you can see how important that number nine, that classic number nine, is to his system. And I think you're right, in this year compared to previous years where Harry Kane has picked up an injury, and you get the same articles being refreshed every year about, oh, well, are Tottenham better off without Harry Kane? You know, will England be better off if Harry Kane isn't doing X, Y, and Z and all that? I think this year it might be different because, of, as you said, I think having a strong hold-up centre forward is integral to the way Mourinho plays.
And on to Liverpool, then, that's enough about them. We haven't been brilliant against Mourinho's sides. In fact, he's been a little bit of a thorn in the side. I got the complete record, actually. So, Liverpool versus Mourinho, we've played 28, only won 7 of those games, drawn 9 and lost 12 to Mourinho's
sides. Is
that sides.
Just in the league?
Just Liverpool versus any Mourinho side.
Oh, in any competition?
Yeah. So, that's not a great record, is it? You know, losing 12, but recently we won the last one against United. We lost the previous one, which is the one you're talking about, and drew the 3 previous to that. So, and Klopp versus Mourinho actually played 10, won 4, drawn 4, lost 2, a much better record. Do you think we should read anything into this, Steve, or are we looking at this side like it is the best side in the world, and we shouldn't worry?
I think you can see roles have kind of reversed. A lot of those Chelsea teams that a lot of those losses came from were just well better than us. You know, we at times we did well to compete with them in terms of, you know, obviously the finance and the squad and all stuff. So Mourinho did at times just he had better teams than us, and he more often not made the count, didn't he? Especially like say at Chelsea. Now I'm not honest, like there's nothing about him or his style of football that absolutely like petrifies me. You know, I think whatever he wants to do, I think we've got the players and the squad and the managers to be able to cope with it. They will have a plan. He's had a week to prepare for Liverpool. He knows he's not soft. He'll have some game plan of what they're going to try and do. Whether it's Son trying to get Son isolated against Alexander Arnold or something, he'll have something there. But listen, mate, you could put anyone in front of Liverpool at the moment, and it wouldn't worry me. Whoever the best team, the second best team in the world is, get them on, and I'd fancy us to find a way because Liverpool have got 7 or 8 different ways they can beat. You know. Okay. So if you want to play a high line, we'll just dunk it over the top of you. You want to sit back, and we'll play through you. You know, we can score off set pieces. We'll fight with you. We'll out gnarly you. We'll time waste. Whatever we need to do to win, these lads have shown over the last, you know, year, calendar year or whatever, even longer, that they're more than willing and more than good enough to do it. So Tottenham are a very good team, and on paper, it's one of the hardest games you'll face of a season. But going into it, you know, but we're just miles ahead of them. They're going to have to play some really, really good footy to even, you know, to lay a glove on us, really.
Yeah, I mean, just to highlight how far ahead of Tottenham we are prior to this game, they've got 30 points, we've got 58. They've played a game more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's crazy that we've nearly doubled their points total already, and we've played a game less. In fact, we could go, if we win against them, we'll be a point more than double. I mean, it's outstanding what Liverpool have done so far this season. And James, you know, we've got a well-rested first team after resting a lot of the first team for the derby. Is it just a simple case now of just getting the first team back in? No messing around, get this game done.
Yeah, I'd say so, because it was something that you mentioned the other week about we've had like a 6-day rest. And I think now it's an important time to get that first team just back together, reassemble it, because December we had to kind of break that apart, sort of. Thankfully, we came through very, very unscathed, and now we're in a great position to kick on. We've got a couple of tough fixtures coming up, but our first team can do any team on its day. Even on its half day, it can still beat teams, you know what I mean, because we're just that good now. But I think when you bring up the Jose Mourinho point of view, I think it's a day and night manager. You know, like you said about the Chelsea team and stuff like that, he had better teams, but he was also a better manager. His tactics for then, that era of football, was better for then. Now it's just advanced too much. Jürgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola have took over the game, and it's just too hard to compete with that now.
Interesting. One of the things that I find sort of really interesting about the first team debate, and why I think it probably is going to be the first team, is we've got no midweek game next week again. And I think that's probably quite important to just get them back into that rhythm. Now, you haven't got a midweek game where you've got to pay maybe 3 or 4 of the lads to spin them in and get them a little bit of fitness. So it feels like it's first team again. Is there anybody you'd consider bringing in?
Well, there was a question I was going to raise, actually, because obviously I doubt Fabinho, if he has been in training, is going to start it.
So he's just basically started running.
What's the first choice midfield at the moment? It's Henderson, Wijnaldum, and is it Milner? Is it Lallana?
Milner's probably going to be out anyway.
Keita's probably going
to
be out.
So you're looking at Lallana then, possibly? Chamberlain.
But
is it too strong to be starting such a big game? You know, it's a difficult one. So did you say Shaqiri then?
Shaqiri's just got back into training as well.
So it's difficult, you know, in terms of it's not, I was just having a look through then, it's not quite as simple as throwing the first team back in, because I don't know at the moment what the first choice midfield is, and obviously we'll know at the weekend, because he should play the strongest team available to him. The squad's had a long enough rest. So right now, with the current situation with the squad, we should know after Saturday what he thinks his first choice midfield is. Whether that changes for Man United, because some of the lads have had an extra week to recover and have a bit more training, I don't know. But I'd like to see probably the midfield that we can see over there, but the viewers can't. I think Lallana would be a good shout for this one, because of his work rate and because of the pressing he can do in midfield. Obviously Henderson and Wijnaldum. I mean, Henderson in particular for me has been fantastic in the DM. But all three of those guys can rotate. That's quite a fluid midfield, especially with the experience Lallana's now gaining in the sixth role as well. So I think that at the moment is possibly the midfield he could go for.
Steve, where do you stand on that? Like the midfield three, because I suppose that is the main talking point around. Around the side.
It's the only one really, isn't it, at the moment? Like I said, the injuries, excuse me, Fabinho, Keita being out, Milner out. You know, I think Milner would have played, by the way, but he's not, he looks like he's going to be out. So Henderson and Wijnaldum picked themselves, and then it's one more. And to be honest, it's Lallana, Chamberlain, and did Curtis Jones do enough to justify? And to be fair, he did. So I wouldn't be overly worried
about
it.
Who played better, Lallana or Curtis?
Oh, good question. I think Lallana probably.
I do too. Yeah. For what it's worth.
But to be honest, any of those three, I'd be like, all right, Sands. It'd be maybe a couple of eyebrows raised if Curtis Jones, you know, got in there. But I wouldn't be overly shocked or overly panicked. You know, because I think he's proven that he's earned a go, and he's more than good enough to do it. So I think he'll pick Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. Is what I think he will do. I think getting him on the other day for a little run around and then getting him up against Tottenham, I think that's what he will do. But any of them, to be honest, and it's great that two of those names we've just mentioned there were not even in our thoughts really going into the season. You would never have even considered Curtis Jones as an option, and Lallana was not even really anywhere. No one was thinking about having Lallana doing anything this season, and you know, he's already played like more games than he did last year. He's contributed goals. He's had really good games. So we're quite fortunate that he's now fit or has been able to stay fit, because we are really short of numbers in that area. We're down four really, really, really talented players. So I suppose it shows, doesn't it, Chris, that the squad depth is there. Like, we're down to probably numbers 7, 8 and 9 and so in that area probably, and it isn't the end of the world.
I mean, there's one guy that we haven't mentioned who we signed. He's not even come into our thoughts yet, but...
Is he a midfield? I don't even know what he is.
I think he could play the 10. Yeah. And I think Wijnaldum and Hendo could play the sixes together. Yeah.
As a 4-2-3-1, do something a bit different.
Fucking right. Mm. Or do you bring Neco Williams in at right back and move Trent into the midfield? Could you imagine Mourinho if that happened? Yeah. He would fucking shit himself. And I'm not advocating this. I think Trent's right back and he's the best right back in the world. But Mourinho, if Klopp did that just to fuck with Mourinho, just, I tell you what I'd do, right? I'd put Henderson right back to start the game and I'd throw Trent in the middle.
Sure.
And I'd watch Mourinho from the sidelines just pull all of that hair out and then just switch them back and be like, you tit, I'm not going to do that to you.
Would it bother? I don't even know he'd notice. I'm trying to think. Would
sometimes in a game like this, you know, doing something a bit different or a bit mad can win you the game. You know, City last night, they play just started without a number nine, and they were consistently changing Sterling and De Bruyne in that false nine role, and Man United just didn't know what to do with themselves. And Man United are rubbish, so they were 3-0 down after 40 minutes because they're not as good as Man City. But the creativity and sort of the daring of Guardiola to do something a bit different, to try just to throw them off. And you know, it might be that we go in and he goes, fuck it, yeah, we'll throw in Minamino and we'll play a 10, or I'll play Origi and we'll play the front four instead and we'll play the two. He might choose to do something
be shocked
because it's Mourinho.
I wouldn't be shocked if he put Salah up front.
No?
As a nine, like genuinely, and if he decides to go that way. And he's done it before, hasn't he, when he's played Firmino like a 10 and he's picked Origi and Mane. I wouldn't be shocked if he did that either, just because I think that they are weak at the back. Mm. And I think if you can get Mane up against them, Salah up against them in the middle, I think he's...
But wouldn't you rather, like Vertonghen's been playing left back for them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather have Salah over there causing him fucking fits? Because he's not the fastest anymore. He might know in his head what he wants to do, but Salah up against Vertonghen feels like a big mismatch.
I think no matter what what battles you pick in terms of our attack against their defenders, we come out on top. Mm. You know, no matter who we play or really what we do, I think it's a big advantage. Actually, it's the main advantage we've got. Their midfield, I don't think, is any great shakes either at the moment. They're struggling in midfield. Obviously, they brought in Dombley and he hasn't been able to stay fit. And that hasn't
Soko's helped. Injured as well.
He's out for 4 months now, yeah. And so you're looking at Harry Winks. Can you get around it? Well, you certainly can. He's a neat and tidy player, but you can certainly outwork him. Again, maybe that brings the Lallana thing into it. So in terms of the middle of the field and definitely our attackers, we've got a huge advantage. So Klopp could do any of 10 different things, and I don't think anyone here would be like, whoa, that's absolutely outrageous. I think we're all just kind of calm and chilled with the fact that we've got a really, really good squad and a manager who knows what he's doing with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we've got a little clip from Steele's Reds transfer round. Was it the Reds transfer round up today, or did you call it news?
No, it's transfer.
Yeah. It's the Reds transfer round up, and here's a great little clip about Wijnaldum.
Basically, Wijnaldum's obviously the last key player who hasn't signed an extension at Liverpool, and there's talk that all parties are comfortable with him potentially leaving as early as this summer, if not as a free agent in 2021, which caused a little bit of, I don't know, uproar, I suppose, when that first happened.
Yeah, I think a lot of Liverpool fans, he's one of the best midfielders in the world, and so it seems a bit confusing, even though he's 29, it seems a bit confusing that Liverpool will be in a position where they're comfortable with letting him go at this stage of his career. You know, he's class, and he's probably in the best vein of form than he's ever been for Liverpool. And, you know, obviously, you know, we only paid $25 million for him a few years ago, and, you know, he's more than paid that back for us. You'd probably be able to easily, you know, break even at least, but you'd probably say he's worth still, you know, in the 40, 50 million mark. Now, whether or not the short contract makes a difference to that price tag, you know, all these factors come into it. But, yeah, for me, you know, he's a player that Liverpool should be keeping hold of and should be tying down. But the only thing I could think of, and I said this on the news show the other day, are they looking at potentially if they've got the likes of Minamino coming in and they've got other midfield targets, they've still got the likes of Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain, do they see him as a player that right now they can still make a profit on? And that might be something that is a factor coming into the idea of potentially selling him. I don't.
So yeah, absolutely brilliant show, available on the redmentv.com. First month is free, after that it is £5 a month. If you sign up, you get that first month, you get about 30 hours of Liverpool content between now and the end of your trial period, and as I say, it's just £5 a month thereafter. I also spoke to Flav from the Fighting Cock podcast. People might know him from Ball Street. He does the Fighting Cock. He's a massive Tottenham Hotspur fan. We had a 30 minute show over on the redmentv.com. Here's a little clip giving his thoughts on this game.
Mourinho, you mentioned yourself a little bit earlier on, he's had that little bit of a dip. I mean, it's only a couple of wins, a couple of losses and probably a draw or something, obviously midweek. What tactically is he doing different? And, you know, obviously you're not going to have Harry Kane available. What can we expect to see from Tottenham in this game?
You can expect to see us try and crush the flow of the game. Mm-hmm. We will be playing direct football, I'd imagine, if the last few weeks is anything to go by. We don't have a midfield, so Sissoko's injured, Winks probably will be fit, and Dombley is injured, mm-hmm. So it'll be a midfield of Winks and Dyer, but as the style of play that Jose's put out so far is that he doesn't trust his midfield to do any decent work on the ball, so he plays it direct to Kane or for Ali and Lucas Moura to run into space. So the issue is our defence as well. Vertonghen is...
Is he still playing left back?
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
He plays the first four or five games. Mourinho played a sort of hybrid back three, back four, where Ben Davies or Jan Vertonghen was playing essentially the left back would just sit. It wouldn't go forward, mm-hmm. and he'd form three-man defence when Serge Aurier took up the right wing. And so he was playing kind of a hybrid role between a left back and the centre back of a back three.
Yeah.
And when he played that, he was fine. But when it's a flat back four and they need mobility, Jan Vertonghen's he's looking old, man. He's just looking old. His legs, you can see what his brain wants him to do. He's making the right movements. He's looking where the ball wants to go. You've seen him do it over and over again throughout his career at Tottenham, but now wings are catching him. You know, Mane, Salah, if Salah plays on the right, which he does, right, he'll have a field day closing down on Jan Vertonghen. So I would expect it to be direct. I'd expect it to us to be up for it. But it's just going to take him longer than 7 weeks in order for us. You know, next year we'd be looking to go into this game thinking, yeah, we've got a chance. But in this one, it's just everything's so up in the air at the moment. Players are not playing well. And the system isn't quite right, although the results have improved than they did under Pochettino. It's going to be tricky when you're playing essentially the best team in the world.
So we'll go back into it then. James, we're going to do preferred 11s next. I'm for completeness sake, the update on the injuries. Shaqiri is apparently 50% to start to play. Matip's around 50% to play. Lovren 25%. Fabinho, Keita and Milner are out, according to injuryroom.com, which is normally pretty good, to be fair to him, and probably one of the best resources for this type of thing. The quotes are all come from like the 2nd of January, and that's when they've last updated it. So what would your preferred 11 be going into this game?
The whole 11?
Yeah, fuck it.
Well, Alisson in goal, obviously standard. Robertson, Trent, Gomez, Van Dijk, because didn't you say Matip and Lovren were out? So then in the midfield, it's my choosing these 11s, because like you said before, I can't just trust with what Klopp's going to go with.
But
do you know what I mean?
Your preferred 11. Well,
as you said, it's my preferred 11. So I go with Henderson and Wijnaldum as like the two whole midfielders. Yeah, like pretty much, yeah. Left hit, right hit, right there, holding it. And then you've got
what
the chest.
You throw that in the middle?
Which? I don't even know what I throw that in the middle, you know. The middle of the chest. fuck it, let's give Minamino a go. If we're talking about my preferred 11, I want to see Minamino play. And I think if he scores against Jose Mourinho, that'd just be funny, wouldn't it? Ox, fuck it, change. Substitution, Ox.
Already?
Yeah, for Minamino. And then the front three, Mane, Firmino, Salah.
How do I follow that? I think I'll go with Lallana. I think I'll go with the same team. But
not happy with sloppy seconds, mate,
no. I don't want to take that.
I respect that, you know.
I'm going to go with Wijnaldum, Henderson and Lallana in midfield. I think Lallana... I think if he shows up and he is what we know he can be, I think he can be really important for us in this game in terms of winning possession back and turning, you know, controlling the midfield in particular. I think, Henderson, this is a big game for Jordan Henderson for me, because he's been playing so well. And again, getting hold of that midfield battle, it's the key to any game. But I think particularly in a game with Mourinho, where he's going to want to sit deep a little bit, having the likes of Henderson and Wijnaldum on the ball a lot, and then you've got Lallana, who's a little bit more creative, I think that'd be a good midfield three for us.
I think I'm kind of torn between theirs. Is there anything that you'd do slightly differently?
It's hard. There are my two options. I'm tempted to throw Curtis Jones in. Just why not? But I think if I had to make a decision, I think I would go Chamberlain. Just because I think we can get at Tottenham, and I think it's going to be a more offensive game. I actually don't think... I would actually trust Henderson and Wijnaldum to be able to have the legs on their midfield anyway. So I think I would go Chamberlain just as a more offensive weapon. I think he's more likely to create something or to score than Lallana is, who's more, he's turned from that creative player more into like a workhorse at Lallana at the moment, isn't he? He's very much, I wouldn't be adverse to the Lallana player. I think I would just go Chamberlain just because I wouldn't be surprised if he popped up with a goal from the edge of the box or something like that. But
against Tottenham as well, isn't it? He hates Tottenham, doesn't he? So, you know, one of them.
We're splitting hairs a little bit, and I don't think it's a massive thing, but I think the manager will go Chamberlain as well.
If so, like, I think you've gone Chamberlain, you've gone Lallana. I'm gonna go for a preferred now. I'm going to go Minamino. And I take it you're a 4-3-3.
Yeah,
makes sense. I'm going to go 4-2-3-1.
And you love that formation.
I fucking always have done.
Yeah, we never play it.
Like, but we do. We played it like four times in the last couple of months.
Get shacking.
Well, it's when we don't have a lot of training time.
Yeah, he just goes
back to that. And I think it's when there's just a lot more running, I think, for the three in midfield if it's a 4-3-3.
Yeah.
So I have a sneaky suspicion it probably won't be that, but I would like it to be that again. I'd throw Minamino in the 10 and let him and Firmino just go, we need to work a relationship out with you two. Who's playing the 9, who's playing the 10 at whatever point during the game, I don't mind.
But I
want to see this at some point during the game and have this like proper fluid from 4. I reckon it'll be like fucking amazing or something. So I'm into that. One question before we move on to the rival fixtures and the score predictions and stuff. I think it's quite pertinent, and I'm gonna set the scene slightly. I'll come to you first on this, actually, Ben, because you were talking about it earlier on. Is that like you mentioned Fabinho's name and you mentioned the midfield three and stuff? Now let's say everybody's fit, right? Does Fabinho come back in to the side straight away?
Yeah,
that quick, that easy for you?
Yeah, okay. I just think he's an absolute. I think he's like another Van Dijk. I think he's just a colossus. I think he, as good as Jordan Henderson's been, I think Fabinho's a cut above. I think he's fantastic. I think he comes straight back in.
Anyone with a different opinion to that? No.
I think he's one of the first names on the sheet. I think there's very few players in that team I think are guaranteed starters. Well, I say that there's not. There's loads of them. and he's one of them now. I think it was always the goalie Van Dijk, your fullbacks have earned that role, and then your front three. And then the midfield, kind of, there was no one. It was a mix of whichever three Klopp fancied. I think before the injury, I think Fabinho was playing at such a high level. And to be fair, listen, Henderson's been brilliant there. And we've won loads of games. We haven't let no goals in. So it's counterintuitive maybe to say it. I think more of that might be maybe actually to do with Joe Gomez than it is with Henderson. I'm
really surprised that no one else has got a different opinion there.
No, I think that just shows how, maybe I don't want to speak for the lads, how highly we rate Fabinho. Like, I think he's the best defensive midfielder in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got the best defensive midfielder in the world, I think you should just pick the best defensive midfielder in the world. I don't think it's anything too. I don't think that's a slight on Henderson, who, even when he was playing ahead of Fabinho, was still having a fantastic season. So I actually think our best midfield at the moment is Fabinho, Henderson, Wijnaldum.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I would never have said that at the beginning of the season, that's how it's going to pan out. But I think if it was a final with my life on the line or something, I think that would be the team.
I think that's the best midfield. I just wonder whether, I don't see that we're rushing him back for a start.
No, yeah,
I mean, that wasn't the question, and I recognise that. I would have, I don't know whether I'm just saying this now, because you have all said no. I probably am, to be honest with you. I probably do just agree with you. I don't know if I'd have jumped to the conclusion so quickly. I think I maybe would consider it and think, well, actually, you know, if everybody's fit, I wonder whether the move is more towards, can you get an Ox, can you get a Keita in there? I don't want to drop Henderson. I don't want to drop Wijnaldum, but then equally, I want Fabinho. I've come to the same conclusion.
Our
best midfield is Fabinho.
You want to have more than 11 men in our team, don't you, Chris?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's hard because, you know, Naby Keita, before he got injured, was playing unbelievably well as well. And it's an injury that's curtailed him, which is unfortunate. Why I think Fabinho's better than Henderson, the main reason I like him is that he's really good at holding a line, but high up the pitch. Like when you talk about,
Henderson's been doing that, though, pinning them in.
Yeah, Henderson is, but I think Fabinho's better at it.
I understand what he's saying. Hendo is boss, and the performances that he's been putting in over the past couple of years is a top level, you know what I mean? It's mad how much he's improved. But you can just tell Fabinho from the second he came in, you can just tell he's a world-class player, and now he's proven that he's actually one of the best in the world, if not the best, in the position that he does. So I think it's Fabinho every day. I think he's the first name in that midfield. And then whoever you put next to him is just whoever you put next to him.
I think what you have gained from this spell, though, is a knowledge of actually what Jordan Henderson is capable of, because obviously the reason we bought Fabinho is because Henderson was doing okay in that number six role, but he wasn't doing brilliantly, and now for whatever reason he's been able to step up, probably not to the same level as Fabinho, but he's definitely stepped up his level in playing in that role since the last time we saw him there. So what you've got now is a player who, you know, he's an option again. You know, if Klopp wants to play a 4-2-3-1 with Fabinho and Henderson as the sitting two, I've got no worries with that. If as we get towards the end of the season, he wants to do a little bit rotating, you know, if Fabinho has picks up a couple of knocks, or, you know, we've got games coming up in the Champions League and you want to rest in the Premier League, things like that, you can just drop Henderson into the six and nobody's going to bat an eyelid. It's kind of like how we had that spell of Adrian at the beginning of the season instead of Alisson. And now whenever Adrian's going to come in for the cup, we're just going to go, yep, sound. And we know that we've got another great backup option now for Fabinho in midfield. So, you know, Fabinho, when he did pick up the injury, we were a bit like, you know, worried about how we were going to deal with it. But actually, we definitely gained some positive stuff.
I think you could actually say the same about centre-half as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Joel Matip was playing as well as anyone. He was, you know, probably player of the month at some stage, wasn't he, I think?
I thought the last 3 months of last season, the first 3 months of this season, he was playing better than...
He was playing at least a higher level, but now... Gomez has come in after the shaky start, like I said on previous shows. We've kind of got to a point now where he's had that run where he's settled himself in, and now he's back in. And it would be really, it's going to be really harsh on someone. Joe Matip's going to be fifth, and Joe Gomez is going to be 100% fifth. Klopp's going to say, "Want to use as my starter." My inkling is that he's going to stick with what he's got, because
yeah.
I think that's what he always wanted anyway. But then if that's, I mean, Joe Matip, again, like Ben said, if the manager decides, you know what, an injury or I need to make a change. And there's Joe Matip in. I don't think anyone bats an eyelid. Oh, yeah, that was hard.
I wouldn't really bat an eyelid if Lovren came in anymore.
Lovren's boss, lad.
He's sound.
Lovren's sick. Like, you know what I mean? Like all of our players put in an effort when they play. You can kind of trust them more. Even, like, Lovren, like, you wouldn't have been able to trust him a few years ago, like, 100%, whereas now, I just think he's very solid. I think he even fucked up in a game against Tottenham at one point, and it was a really poor game. But I wouldn't even look back at that, because he's just a completely different player.
I think it was this game last season, albeit it was Wembley, not this ground, when I thought we saw how good Joe Gomez was.
Mm.
It was the 2-1 game, wasn't it? They scored very, very late on. And Gomez was just unbelievable. Him and Van Dijk together. It was early on in the season, and I think we started, like, in a big game. They've done it, you know. We've done well defensively against a few teams, and then.
But something you can hang your hat on when you play the top.
Play
side.
Big side, yeah. A team who I think they beat us. Did they batter us the season before?
Yeah, it was like the 4-0 or 4-1, whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah, the 4-1 game, and then we went there, and they were absolutely superb. And Gomez has probably been our best player over the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. I think again he's been outstanding. And what he gives you that Matip doesn't, and what might be good in this game, is that will Klopp want to go high line against? Because I imagine he might stick on up front, and then the more is going to be around, so they've got pace. But you don't have to, like, shit your pants at that if we do that, because his pace should allow you to.
And Van Dijk's just
fast. I mean, he's you can don't have to worry about him.
I still don't think we've seen him sprint 100%.
Yeah, it's been once or twice. I mean, someone was sliding the other day. I hadn't seen that ever, and he was pretty good at that, wasn't he? So I think
that amazes me, because he very rarely uses a slide tackle, and yet he's brilliant at it. If I don't practice stuff, I get shit at it really quickly.
Don't think he likes getting dirty.
I think that's it.
I think he's far too cool to get dirt on him. What those two allow you to do that Matip doesn't is that you can do either. You can sit deep and sound, or you can go really, really, really high line. So I think Gomez is in. It'd be interesting. I think Mourinho's secret weapon, Son, isn't it?
Mm.
Whatever their game plan is, it's going to revolve around Son and Dele Alli. I think that could be crucial. Gomez covering the space if Trent does go. I think that's probably where that's Tottenham's game plan, isn't it? Get him in that channel. So Gomez is going to need to play well, I think, because that's going to be, I imagine, 3 or 4 times he's going to be up there isolated against Son, and he's got to win that battle. And you'd back him too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would right now. And then, all right, then we'll talk a little bit about rival fixtures. We'll just quickly speed through this.
There's rival fixtures.
Well, yeah, that's we haven't got any really.
That's what I was thinking.
The only rival fixture we've got, actually looking at the full fixture list, is Tottenham v Liverpool. And that's because they are literally our rivals in this game.
Yes.
Other than that, I have jotted down a few teams. I've even included Everton, because I feel a little bit sorry for them, to be honest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what competition in?
Yeah.
Well, just in the...
I mean, it was
the definitely
FA
not
Cup.
The Cup.
Exactly, because we... Yeah, I don't know.
Go on.
Palace Arsenal, who wins?
Palace.
Arsenal.
Palace?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I think I may have cut it down. Hello?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, might not.
Okay.
Until I see Mikel Arteta take Arsenal on the road and for them not to be a massive gang of wimps, then I'm going to presume that Arsenal are a massive gang of wimps.
Great choice of words.
I had four words in my head.
And you couldn't use three of them.
I could see the comment section lighting up, so I'll go with wimps.
Wimps, I love that.
Yeah, wimps.
Okay.
Wet lettuces.
Wet lettuce.
Wet lettuce.
Wet lettuce. Love that. Chelsea Burnley, James.
Burnley.
Wow.
Why not? Go ahead.
Why?
That look now, because why not? Did you know what I mean? Nah, even Chelsea, they haven't been
rubbish at home.
That's what I mean.
They haven't been pretty poo this season, though.
No, they have, but you know, anything can happen on any given
Chelsea
day in the Premier League.
Chelsea are poor at home, but yeah.
I mean, it's Chelsea and it's Arsenal, by the way.
Okay.
Everton, Brighton.
Who cares?
That's a tough one. I think Brighton are a good side. I'll sit on the fence and say a draw, I think.
Nobody ever predicts draws on this. I just realised, like, we do five or six rival fixtures every week and no one ever predicts a draw.
Well, I think you'll get a bit more of I think you will get a slight response out of Everton, but Brighton are a good team, so I don't know if Brighton will show
Who's
up
their
and
manager?
Win. Graham Potter.
Well done. Leicester, Southampton.
Yes.
I'll take this one. Leicester all day.
Yeah.
It was 9-0 last time, wasn't it? Yeah.
There's a reason.
You haven't got out on a limb.
No, I haven't. Manchester United play bottom of the table, Norwich City.
Honestly. Oh my God, Norwich are winning this. Norwich are winning this, boys. Honestly.
Norwich are bad.
No, Ben, listen to me. No, Norwich are bad, but Man United, trust me, this is just going to be one of them days Norwich are going to turn out to be class. Like, do you remember when they had like 9 of the 11 starting players injured for City and still beat them? It's going to be one of them. And it's not even going to be as good as that, but it's going to be one of them, no.
Okay, and he doesn't do ifs, buts, or maybes. Manchester City away at Villa Park on Sunday afternoon, 4:30. Go on, Ben, who wins this one?
Manchester City win this one.
Steve?
Yeah,
I can't even joke about
Villa.
It.
And a big congratulations, of course, from me, but more importantly, from James to Sadio Mane. Who's been the African Player of the Year? What do you think about that one?
I mean, it was rightly so.
If he's the best player
in the
world,
if he's the best player in the world, then he's obviously going to get the best player in Africa. Do you know what I mean? But even Salah getting second, though, two Liverpool players getting the top two, can't complain. And there's some competition in Africa. You've got Koulibaly, who could have even had a shout. Riyad Mahrez, who obviously won the AFCON. So the fact he's gone out and won, I think it just shows how good he is as an individual player and also an inspiration to other players as well in Africa.
I think he might be the second best player in the world at the minute.
I'm underrating him a bit there.
Ask this, but is it after Messi?
Imagine I said no. Do you remember last time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Leo, yeah. Yes, is one. Yeah. Don't stop phoning me, Catalan people. I know the Spanish for mother. I know what it is. Stop phoning me.
Is it Puta Mata?
It's very similar to that. Yeah.
Nice. I once saw a church-going lady in the stands. What game was it? We went to see Zaragoza against Deportivo. And it was a Sunday. And he said, oh, do you want to go in the north stand or the south? And we're like, what's the difference? And like, sun or no sun? And we're like, ah, sun. Bad idea. But fucking in the sun. Anyway, this church lady was conducting the entire crowd in a full Sunday get-up, and I mean like Sunday best, and she's there like that, fucking right, to the goalkeepers and fucking all kinds, like giving them absolute shit. It was glorious. I don't know why I'm talking about that, but yeah.
That's what the Messi fans did to me. So yes, Messi is the best player in the world, and then I think it's Van Dijk and Salah arguing for about number two at the moment. So I don't think he's that far off. I think
when people like looked at my thing, I think a lot of people just excluded Messi and just kind of thought, yeah, like especially now with Mane performing like at a very high level, they just kind of forget about Messi, just kind of leave him in his own category and then put Mane at the top above everyone else. I think that's how a lot of people look at it now with the way he's performing.
I think you were 2 years ahead of everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, so, no, I know fulfilled. I was 2 years ahead of everybody else, but obviously I don't want to sound like a cocky prick on the show. So standard.
Yeah, you didn't come across cocky.
Yeah, you're on it.
One,
like that was like humble and respectful.
Oh, yeah, that was dead humble, that one.
Us visionaries respectful. Don't like
I mean, you've
just
either got it or you don't.
I'm just a normal person, like everybody else.
Who can predict the future? But anyway.
Let me know your thoughts on that. Let me know your thoughts on the Fabinho, Jordan Henderson discussion that we've just had as well. Does anyone actually think Jordan Henderson deserves to keep that role in the number six if everybody's fit? Don't forget to check out the rest of the channel. We'll be there. Me and Paul are going down to this game. I can't wait for it. But most importantly, like this, subscribe to Red Men TV on YouTube, and we will see you for the Starting 11 show tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.